Beautifully, beautifully done. Praise the Lord. I want you to take your Bible, turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We've been studying through the book of 2 Timothy together. That's our New Testament book. I remind you that we try to have three series going at one time. Try to have an Old Testament book going, a New Testament book going, and a topical series. And 2 Timothy happens to be our New Testament book. We've come to chapter 4. I began this message a week ago last Wednesday, not this past Wednesday, but a week ago last Wednesday. And I want to give you the remaining portion of this message that I began about a week and a half ago now. I appreciate the Crown Group coming up and singing, coming over, coming down, whatever direction it was. I asked Levi, I said, "Are you singing with them?" And he said, "No." We all stopped and had a shouting fit down, you know, down praising God for that. No, I'm just kidding with you. It's good to have you all with us. God bless you. And we're happy as a church to be able to help you get to the mission field there and enjoy that trip. And that's a blessing. If they see somebody saved, we had a hand in that. You see what I'm saying? And I'm glad it's that way. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." I began a message about 10 days ago now on the first three words of this chapter. Those three words are, "I charge thee." I charge thee. So I give you part two tonight of "I charge thee." Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, we love you. Help us tonight, I pray. May the will of God be done in our midst, and I pray that you help us to feel your sweet presence. We know you're here with us. Help us to feel your sweet presence tonight, I pray. Speak to us now. We thank you for the power of your word. And God, would you speak to our hearts? Change us where we need to be changed. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged. Somebody's here who's come to church but never come to Christ. May tonight be the glorious night where they accept you as their Savior. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this portion of Scripture, some of this is going to be a repeat, but as we come to this portion of Scripture, we see the Apostle Paul is approaching the time when he will be put to death for the cause of Jesus Christ. He has truly been a wonderful soldier of the cross, and his time of departure is now at hand. He has been used of God in a mighty way, and he's getting ready to see the Lord face to face. Now, it's with this in mind that we come to this chapter. And our great God has recorded some of the last words that this dear saint of God would ever say for our learning and our admonition. By the way, we all need to be reminded of something here, that when a child of God knows that his time is short, and we see in verse number 6, we know he knows that his time is approaching. When a child of God has the privilege of being let in on when he's getting ready to cross over. In other words, not every child of God has that. Some people may be a heart attack immediately or a car wreck or something like that. But every now and then, God gives his children the opportunity of knowing that they are dying and their days are few. Paul knows he's getting ready to die. Now, understanding that should help us see something. We know he's going to be choosing his words carefully. And we know that what he's getting ready to say is very close to his heart and is very important to him. This is what we have in our text. He is speaking to this young pastor by the name of Timothy. Now, as we read this, we see that what Paul is telling Timothy is in the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And because of that, his words to Timothy are God's words to us. God is speaking to us in this text. His admonition can be summarized in the opening phrase. That's why I took it as the message title, "I charge thee." In these verses, we see Paul charging or commanding young Timothy to do certain things. Now, before we get to these things, let me remind you again, it's important that we see a sobering truth that he brings out before he ever gives him the charge. In other words, the charge begins in verse 2. Before he ever gets to the charge, he brings out a vital thought for us in verse number 1. Look at it. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that's the living, and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. It's important here that Paul is saying, Timothy, I'm getting ready to give you a charge. I'm getting ready to give you a command and different things that you need to do in your life. But before I ever get to that, let me remind you something, young man. You have a date with God. You're going to stand before Jesus Christ. And what I'm getting ready to tell you is done before God and His Son, who will judge the world, those who are living and those who are dead. Folks, we need to understand something. We are going to be judged by God. Now, thank God if you're saved, you're not going to stand at the great white throne. Somebody say amen right there. But you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Every human being who has ever lived, living now, and ever will live, has a date at the judging hand of God. Paul is telling Timothy that you need to understand this. God's going to judge you. Now, with that in mind, he starts giving him the charge. I only got to point number one. I'm just going to reach over and tap it on the head and go on. Charge number one. He said in verses 2-4, here it is, charge number one, I charge thee, preach the word. Preach the word. The first thing that Paul charges young Timothy was to ram back, take the Bible, and proclaim it to a lost and dying world. Now, there's several things about his preaching here. Again, if you want this message, you can go back and get it. It's about 10 days ago, not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, because I went into detail on this. I'm just reviewing here. Under this, we notice four things about preaching. Number one, we notice the subject of it. By the way, if you're not a preacher tonight, don't tune me out, because these same things apply to a Christian. Do you understand that every child of God is to be preaching the Word of God? Now, it may not be in a pulpit. That's for a man. Somebody say amen right there. Just like I said this morning when my baby girl, Becky and I's baby girl, got up and started preaching. Or did I say that? She was preaching Friday night at her birthday party. She got up. Here it is. It was precious. She was standing in a chair behind my podium in the gymnasium. She had some of her little friends sitting there, and she was preaching to them. And then she would sit down, and they were all girls, and another girl got up and started preaching. And my wife said that she was over there, and she heard him say, now it's your turn to preach. Now it's your turn to preach. Now it's your turn to preach. In other words, the Jenkins household is out of whack right now because we have a lady preacher in the home. She's not three yet. She's two. She's going on three, but she wants to be a preacher. Are you going to stop her? Well, somebody, by the way, you're going to laugh at this, but that's okay. There's a reason why I put my picture on our new tracks. You know what that reason is? Because some people thought that Buffalo Ridge has a female pastor. Jody Jenkins. Is that a female? Or is that a male? So I've removed all doubts. I hope I've removed all doubts, praise God. And I put my picture on the back of those tracks. What are y'all laughing at, folks? Sure. What am I saying? You got me off track there. Now, you ought not to do that. We're looking at the first thing. I've already preached this. If I'm not careful, I'm not even going to get to my message. Preach the word, the subject of his preaching. It wasn't to be his own thoughts, his own ideas. The subject is preach the word. Open the Bible and let God say what he's already said. I remember I'm feeling a little bit better tonight. I'm getting a little bit louder and all that. That's okay though. I remember what Mr. Kaiser would teach us. He taught us as young preacher boys, he would say this. He would say, God has already said what he meant, and he meant what he said. Open the book. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just say what God's already said. That's preaching, folks. The subject of preaching is the Word of God. Secondly, the season of it. He said in verse number 2, be instant in season, out of season. In other words, you need to preach when you feel like it. You need to preach when you don't. Number 3, the segments of it. He says reprove, verse 2, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and with doctrine. Then number 4, we notice the seriousness of his preaching. Because in verses 3 and 4, in a nutshell, he said this, these folks who are open now may not be open tomorrow. Because there will come those who will look at the his hearers and just try to figure out where they're itching right now, and instead of giving them what they need to stop the itch, they'll simply scratch it because it feels good. Are you listening to me? You don't need something that feels good. You need something that's going to tell you what God has told you in His Word. This is the first charge. Then he said number 2. This is where we're picking up our message here. Number 2, I charge thee, number 2, verse number 5, watch in all things. Watch in all things. Notice what he says, but watch thou in all things. See, the second thing Paul charged Timothy in these verses was to watch. Now, the word watch means to be alert. It means to be sober. It means to be earnest and vigilant. It carries the idea of a constant, persevering exercise. Now, get this. In a world where many will turn to fables, that's verses 3 and 4. In a world where some speakers will scratch the itching ears of others. In a world where the devil is seeking whom he may devour, young Timothy was not to fall asleep. He was to be wide awake, and he was to be aware of everything going on around him. Where it says watch here, it means to be sober. Now, when you think of a sober person, you think of somebody who is calm, who is sane, and who is steady, who does not crave the sensational. Interesting. He just got done saying they're going to turn to fables and turn to those who are going to scratch their itching ears. But he's saying, you be sane. You be sober. You watch in all things. He's saying, don't you fall into that crowd, Timothy. Don't you go the sensational way. You go the spiritual way. You stay true to God in your life. And you watch what's going on. Acts 20, 28 to 31. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, this is Paul speaking too here now, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. The bottom line is Paul is warning young Timothy not to bury his head in the sand while these things were taking place. He wanted him to stay alert. He wanted him not to let anything take him by surprise. Don't be sidetracked by the devil. Don't be blindsided by the devil. You know, it's interesting how people end up doing something against God and then act as if God knew all about it and act as if God worked it out. I heard one time, not from a couple in this church, but there was a lady who was running around on her husband, because if it wasn't this church, you'd never hear that, because that's none of your business. Amen. You see what I'm saying? So, but here's what I'm saying. This lady who's running around on her husband, she said basically this: I believe it's God's will for me to leave my husband and to get with this other man. If you can show that to me in the Word of God, I will eat it. I will take a steak knife out. I don't have one. This is how confident I am. But I'll go home and get a steak knife, and I'll cut this in pieces, and I'll eat it. It's not in this book, folks. And I'm telling you, what I'm telling you here is, do not fall asleep. Don't be blindsided. There are fables out there. There are people who have itching ears. There are unbeliefs out there. There are untruths out there. You watch. You stay awake. You stay alert. God forbid it. Well, let's say that I drop dead of a heart attack. I hope you say God forbid that too, bless your heart. Let's say I drop dead of a heart attack. I know our deacons and our staff, and I believe our Moses would step up too to make sure you don't get somebody here who's going to fill you with untruth. But can I say something to you? If you ever in the future get a pastor who starts giving false doctrine, you don't have to pray about that. All you need to do is grab him by the seat of the pants, open that window, throw him out, and tell him don't ever step foot on this property again. Amen. I'm telling you, watch in all things. Don't fall asleep. Then there's a third charge. 1 Peter 4:7 says this, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Then number three, I charge thee, preach the word, watch in all things. Number three, endure afflictions. We see this in verse number five. "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions." Now, Paul was not one who tried to make the Christian life a life of no troubles and no pain. You'll turn on the television today or other days and you can tune in to certain people who will try to tell you that God wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to have all the money in the world and He wants you to have all the health in the world, and if you'll just send them your tithe, then they'll send you a handkerchief that they may have sneezed on, and if you'll just look at it, it'll bless you and give you health. There's a reason they ask for your money. Somebody say amen right there, folks. They're snakes. They're wolves. And if you ever get sick, call them. See if they come to visit you. Amen. You say, Jody, you sound mad. I am. I'm mad at the devil tonight. Because I know what he's trying to do. He'll try to make somebody think if you're having afflictions, God's not good to you. I thought God said he's going to take care of you. I thought God said he's going to bless your life. And yet you may be at the lowest point in your life tonight. You know what Paul said to Timothy? Timothy, endure afflictions. He did not try to say, if you preach the word and if you watch in all things, he never said, you'll never have a trouble. You'll never have a heartache. Your bank account will always be full and you'll have all the health in the world. He never said that. But he did say this, you will have trouble and you'll have afflictions. And he's saying, I am telling you as a soldier of the cross who's getting ready to die, who's getting ready to be a martyr, I'm telling you before I leave, endure afflictions. You know what it means? It means go through them. It means undergo them. It means suffer trouble. If you remember in chapter 2 of this same book, Paul had already told young Timothy, he said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldiers do not stop fighting even though they're cold at times, even though they get wet at times, they may be hungry, they may be tired, they may even be wounded, but they don't stop fighting. They endure afflictions for the cause of their country and the cause of their family. Let me ask you a question. Why should an individual be willing to endure afflictions for your country and your family and not be willing to endure afflictions for Jesus Christ? By the way, afflictions come to everybody. It comes in different packages, but afflictions come to everybody. It could be financial trouble. It could be physical trouble. It could be a tragedy. I don't know what it is, but afflictions come to everybody. And Paul is telling young Timothy before he meets the Lord face to face, he said, I want to give you some charges here, young man. Endure afflictions. You know what he's telling him in a nutshell? Don't quit. When the going gets tough, don't quit. Paul's charging him not to let suffering scare him and not to let suffering cause him to abandon the truths of God's precious word. He wanted Timothy to understand that if he accepted the charge to preach the word, he would also need to accept the charge to endure afflictions. He's charging Timothy again not to quit when it gets hard. Can I say something to you? It gets hard every now and then, doesn't it? It gets hard. When you have trouble in your life, you may not be chipper, you may not be jumping for joy, you may be acting and feeling like you're wading through cement, and the last thing you want to do is take another step because your right foot's out of joint, I'm speaking in spiritual terms, and it hurts. Man, it hurts! But I know God wants me to do that. God wants me to get there. God wants me to preach the word. He wants me to watch. He wants me to do His will. That's His will. And yet sometimes it's a long, laborious, hard, painful road. Not all the time now. There's sometimes on the road where it's sunshine and the birds are chirping and everything's going great and you're just skipping around, just whistling and everything. But there's other times you step in a pothole and you twist your ankle and you're in excruciating pain. You know what Paul's saying? There are afflictions on this road. And I'm telling you, Timothy, here's my charge. Don't stop when you're hurt. Don't quit when you're afflicted. Don't stop when you're in pain. Keep going. By the way, if anybody had the right to tell somebody else not to stop, it was the Apostle Paul. Now, I guarantee you've never gone through what the Apostle Paul went through. I'm talking about everything he went through. There are many of you who've gone through some tremendous trials. No doubt about that. Some of you are going through them today. I've gone through some. But when I compare them to yours, they're not that big. You know, it's not encouraging to realize that this life is full of trouble. That's not encouraging. It's not encouraging to come and hear the pastor get up and say, if you're going to live the Christian life, it's going to get hard. Can I say something to you? It's hard whether you live the Christian life or not, folks. But it's worth it when you're living the Christian life right through it. Because you will experience the sufficient grace of God. He's telling him, don't quit. Hebrews 11:23-27. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. By the way, that's the choice we all have today. Pleasures of sin, or the afflictions of God's people. Can I say something to you? A majority of people are choosing the pleasures of sin. But the Bible plainly teaches in the same book, Hebrews, that the pleasure of sin is for a season. Whereas suffering and the afflictions of the children of God, what did Peter say? The trying of your faith is more precious than gold that perisheth. It's a matter of faith. Why did Moses make the decision? I choose. He could have had the life of ease. He could have just fallen into that, fallen into comfort and complacency. But the Bible says he chose, instead of the pleasures of sin, he chose the afflictions of God's people. Why did he do that? The Bible tells us it was by faith. By faith he did this. He believed God. And because he believed God, he endured afflictions. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's what the Bible says. Friends, hear this message from the lips of a faithful martyr. Endure afflictions. Don't quit. Keep going. Then there's another one. I'm on my last page. There's another one. That page is full, but I am on that page. Charge number 4, I charge thee, I command thee, I'm telling you before I die. Verse number 5, we're just walking right through it. Do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. You know what the word evangelist means? It means a preacher of the gospel. As Paul was charging young Timothy, he included this charge of preaching Christ crucified, buried, and rising again. He was to continue to take the message of salvation to this lost and dying world. He was to keep on sharing the old gospel story that saves a wretched sinner. You know, we can all learn something valuable here. You know what we can learn? It's never right not to give the gospel. Did you hear what I was just saying? It's never right not to give the gospel. It's never wrong to give the gospel. We are all to be evangelists. Now, when you think of an evangelist, who do you think of? Immediately in my mind, Tom Farrell. Bang. What an evangelist. Good night. By the way, our children have picked up that statement. And even today, Jalen was like, good night, where's mommy going? Good night. Watch what you say, folks. You know what I mean? No doubt about it. Yes, I'm expecting them to start saying that in a minute because I think I picked it up from Dr. Sexton, no doubt about it. No, I almost said it again, no doubt about it, you know. What am I saying? You think of an evangelist, you think of a preacher. You think of somebody, an itinerant preacher like Ron Comfort who comes in here. But an evangelist is simply somebody who gives the gospel, folks. You are to be an evangelist. I'm to be an evangelist. You know what Paul's telling young Timothy? He's saying this, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Because there will come a time when they'll turn from truth unto fables. And he's saying, I'm going to tell you something, young man. Watch in all things. Be alert. Don't be blindsided. Endure afflictions. It's going to get hard every now and then. Don't quit. Keep going. But while you're going through this, don't ever forget, keep doing the work of an evangelist. Keep giving the gospel. Keep passing out tracts. Keep sharing your faith. Don't ever stop telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was telling him, while you're thinking about all these other things, you keep the main thing, and that is soul winning. You stay after the souls of man. You may tell you what our church birthday is about next week. We're doing the work of an evangelist. As a church, we are trying to see somebody accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Every week, we ought to be out doing the work of an evangelist. By the way, I want to pray for our prison ministry service going on right now. What a great open door that is. I want to pray for our John Sevier service that met earlier today. There's another opportunity that's opened up to us. I'm praying about it. Brother Jess Phipps, God bless him, he's on fire. Stay on fire, brother. I know you're here. I want to fan it. I'm fanning your flame. God's got a hold of your heart, and I know that. He went and knocked on another place and found four apartment complexes. Four of them right there. They have a conference center right in the middle of them. And the main guy is begging us to come and hold a service for all four of those apartment complexes. In the conference center. You say, Jody, you going to do it? I'll give you two guesses on that. But you know what we need? We need somebody who'll say, I'll do that. There's my part of the wall. I'll take that section. You say, when can we do it? Any night of the week. I'll tell you something. I'll do it myself before I let that chance slip away. That's the truth. That's the truth. You say, Jody, wait a minute. Aren't we trying to get them here? No. Does that shock you when I say that? Do we want them here? Yes. But in order to get them here, we may have to go there first and reach them where there may be 10 people or 20 people or 200 people who might come to that service because they can walk to it, but they'll never come to this church. Somebody says, well, that's their fault. They ought to come here. You don't really know the mind of Christ if you say that, do you? What would Christ do in this? What would the Lord want done in this? I think I know what he'd want done. You know what's happening around this place? God's testing my faith. And he's testing yours too. All these target ministries, target groups, target things, all these kind of things, he's throwing some of these things out to us, saying, okay, you going to take that one? You going to do that one? He's testing us. There's no doubt about it. What are you saying? I'm saying this. We are not to ever forget, we are to do the work of an evangelist. Go after people. Luke 8:1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I charge thee, Timothy, before I die, I charge you, preach the word. I charge you, watch in all things. I charge you, endure afflictions, don't quit. I charge you, do the work of an evangelist. Keep giving the gospel out. Then he gives him a fifth and final charge in these verses. And that's in verse number 5. He said, make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof of thy ministry. You know what these words mean? It means to entirely accomplish it. It means to carry it out fully and completely convince. It's used in picture of a ship. Now get this thought. It's used in picture of a ship moving across the sea with its sails set. And its sails are catching every ounce of available breeze to keep it moving. Do you understand what I'm just saying? This is the picture here. In other words, the preacher, he's saying this. He's saying, young man, fulfill your potential. Put your sails high in the air. And catch the wind of God and allow Him to use you to your fullest capacity. He's saying, let God expend your life. My life verse is John 17:4. It's part of the high priestly prayer of Jesus speaking, praying to His heavenly Father. To me, my life verse is something I'm striving for, not something that I feel I've attained, but something I'm striving for. John 17:4, He said, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Can I say something to you? God has a work for you. He also has a work for this church. And what Paul is telling Timothy, he's saying, put your whole heart into this. Don't settle for anything less than God's best. And you make sure that when it comes down to the end of the way, that God doesn't look at you and say, I had so much more I wanted you to do. He's saying, fulfill your ministry. Finish it. Finish what God's given you to do. You know, he was bearing the greatest message the world has ever known and ever will know, and that is the gospel. He was not to allow his preaching and God-giving ministry to take a back seat to anybody or anything. He was to leave nothing undone. He did not know when his opportunity would be over. So he was to give it all he had every moment God gave him breath. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm convicted here. Because there are many days in my ministry, and really it's not mine, it's my God-given ministry, where I feel like I could have done more. God had something else for me to do and I didn't do it. I'm talking about just a day's work or whatever the case may be. Let me remind you folks, going back to last week in the summary of the storm, this could be the last day you breathe God's air. If it is, make sure this day's work has been fulfilled. Finish what he's given you to do. Colossians 4:17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. John 17:4, I've glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 9:4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. For the night cometh when no man can work. Now, I understand that this is God's older preacher charging a younger preacher, and a direct interpretation is these verses apply to me as your pastor. But all of Scripture is for every Christian. There's something you can learn from every passage of Scripture. Do you think God only wants preachers to preach the word? Or do you think He wants you to preach the word? Now, I'm not talking about behind the pulpit, but I'm talking about in your workplace. What do you think those co-workers need? Is it your thoughts or is it the Word of God? Preach the Word at work. Preach it in school. Preach it on your ball team. Preach it. Do you think that God only wants His preachers to watch in all things? You think He only wants His preachers to be sober and alert to the attacks of the devil? I think that applies to every Christian, don't you? Do you think He wants preachers and preachers only to endure afflictions? Has He told preachers, it's going to be hard on you, now you endure it, but if you're not a preacher, it's hard on you, you don't have to endure it, just give up. No, that's for every Christian. You're getting it, aren't you? Do you think He wants just preachers to be an evangelist? He wants preachers to be an evangelist, but He also wants every child of God to be an evangelist. He wants us all to be giving the gospel. You think He just wants preachers to make full proof of their ministry? Does He want me to finish what He's given me to do? Sure He does. But He also wants you to finish what He's given you too. He wants you to finish and make full proof of your ministry. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't give in. Keep going with the pedal to the metal till you see Jesus face to face. Can't you just hear, and I know I'm closing my Bible, I'm doing that so I can conclude here, but can't you just sense the urgency in this dear dying saint's heart? Paul, remember the Mamertine prison that I showed you many, many weeks ago now, where he's literally penning this, or whatever the case may be, from that prison? He's dying and he knows it. And he's coming to the end of this book. And he's saying, I charge thee before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead as is appearing, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll be turned from the truth unto fables. Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. I don't know about you, but I can kind of see him saying, God, help him to do that. God, help him to do this. God, help him to keep going until he sees you face to face. Word of God's powerful, isn't it? We give Him the glory. Let's pray together. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for Your goodness. And I pray that You help us at Buffalo Ridge to learn the charge that Paul gave to Timothy. Help us, Lord, to always keep before us that we have a judging hand date with God. And because of that, help us to preach the word. Help us to watch in all things. Help us to endure afflictions. Help us to do the work of an evangelist. Help us to make full proof of our ministry. Bless, I pray. Your heads are bowed, eyes are closed. She's beginning to play through softly. They are. You might have come tonight and not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. When we extend the invitation, why don't you come and we'll take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord as your Savior. Well, maybe tonight God is speaking to you because He wants you to do a more faithful job in preaching the Word to your co-workers, to your family, to your classmates, your teammates. Just apply it to wherever you're at. Maybe God's speaking to you because you're going through some afflictions tonight and you need His strength to endure those afflictions. You know God doesn't want you to quit, but maybe you've been tempted to, and you say, Jody, I need strength. The devil's whispering, quit, 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 quit. When God's word says, endure it, endure it, endure it, endure it. Maybe some of you need to open your eyes and say, you know, I've been wondering what that is, and now I can see with my eyes wide open that that's an attack of the devil on my life. He's trying to trip me up. Or maybe some of you need to come and say, God, make me an evangelist. Make me a soul winner. I'm going to share my faith. Or maybe God's speaking to somebody tonight about this. I've given you a great work to do. Finish it. Finish it. However God's dealing with you, I want you to respond. Let's all stand together, please. Father, take it, use it, bless it in a great way. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you, as Brother Gary sings, you leave your place and come. As he sings, come on now, come on now.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender.
We have a great work to do next week. If you're standing, you can look this way. I know most of you can't see me, but maybe you can hear me. We have a great work to do this week, and I'm calling upon you to pull out all the stops. My wife and I will be out of town the early part of this week, but we'll be back, God willing, God helping us, and we're going to hit the ground running when we get home. I've already been inviting, praying. We're going to have one more verse of this song in just a minute. I'm not going to have Brother Gary sing it, but I want to invite all of our workers, our laymen. Every person has a vital part in the success of next week. Every person, whether you're a teacher, a bus captain, whether you're just a church member, a layman, whether you're visiting the church, whatever the case may be, you have an active, vital part in this day next week. Maybe you feel led to come and gather around this altar. Now, I don't want anybody doing this who just, I don't care or whatever. I don't want anybody feeling pressured about this, but if you feel like you want to come and pray and ask God to help you do your part as a teacher, as a member, inviting, teaching, whatever the case may be, I want you to come. Father, help people to respond. May the will of God be done in this service, in Jesus' name. As they play through, if you feel like God is in this, I want you to come. Come now, and let's talk to the Lord about it. I want to talk to the Lord all week about it. All week about it. And I trust that if you're standing there, I trust that you're praying right there at your seat, asking God to help you, asking God to meet with you this week. May God help us all. What a tremendous potential we have for next week. I'm calling upon you to make full proof of your ministry. Fulfill it. Do what God wants you to do. I'm going to ask Brother Joe Shelton if he wouldn't mind to make his way to the platform. It's good to have he and his precious family with us. Not sure how long we're going to have him. He's a preacher. God bless him. Can you imagine? He was the pastor at Double Springs when my wife heard me preach for the first time. Special place in my heart for you, brother, you know. One of my burdens at Buffalo Ridge is to help preachers. And this is one of them. He's a dear friend of mine. This man loves the Lord. He's got a precious family, most of them, except his son. I'm just kidding. And we're so thankful to have you here, brother. I mean that. God bless you. I'm going to ask you to come. Let me make this announcement. Somebody's asked if the 20 years of service includes the choir. You better believe it. Sure, if you've been singing for 20 years, I won't know about it. Anything in the church, may the Lord help us. I'm going to ask Brother Shelton to come. Let me remind the altar workers, I need to meet you right after church here in the middle. Brother, you come and lead us in prayer. God bless you. Appreciate you being here.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. Lord, we thank you for how our hearts have been stirred up, Lord, to realize the privilege of ministry. Lord, may all of us see your calling in our life. Lord, may we be a faithful witness for thee. Lord, may Christ be real to us and through us. Lord, I pray for the coming week and the service next Sunday morning. Lord, it'd be thrilling to see this place packed out. Lord, we know we must do our part. We know you're going to do your part, and we thank you for that already. I thank you for the souls that are going to be saved. God, I pray that you'll fill our pastor with the power of the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, that every person that walks through this place, Lord, would hear about Jesus, and Lord, would come to the understanding that you died for them and that you gave your life. And Lord, all they have to do is put their faith and trust in thee. I thank you, Lord, for 232 years at this place, that this church has been. For every soul that's already in heaven, Lord, others that are going to be, and those that are on their way, thank you for the impact, for Preacher Lasley, and now for Brother Jody. And Lord, we thank you most of all for your presence here. All this is because of thee, and we give you the glory. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.